Praise God. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 14 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God. And wow, I can't believe we're almost done with Romans, huh? It only took, what, half a century? Ain't in no hurry, that's for sure. But it's a good, definitely a good book, one of my favorites. And after Romans, we only have, let's see, one, two more chapters and we're done. And I've been praying about where to go next, and I think we need to get back to Jesus. So I'm praying about going back to one of the Gospels, and let's follow the steps of Christ, and then from there go back into 1 Corinthians. But I'm praying about it. We'll see what God wants to do. He may do something different. But Romans chapter 14, what's that? I'm sorry. Oh, that's it. Just give me Jesus. Yes. Amen. Amen. Okay, Romans 14, why don't we stand and I'll read this and then we'll get into the Word of God. Verse 1, Paul says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. And let him who eats despise him who does not, let him not who eats despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. And who are you to judge another's servant? To his master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. But let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and give God's thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Amen to that. "For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.'" Thank you, Jesus. I can't. I'm just going to stop right here because I can't wait for that day that we're going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to see Satan. And Satan himself will bow his knee and he will confess with his tongue that Jesus is Lord. And we're going to say, "That's him? That's the one that did all this?" Man, I can't wait for that day. Look at verse 12. "And coming soon. So then each of us should give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." Verse 14, "I know I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. And do not destroy with your food the one from whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. And do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." Father, we want to thank you this morning. As we look to your word, just bless us, Lord. We pray that your word wouldn't go void. We pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to heard, to hear what your Spirit is saying. And may not one word fall to the ground, but may it pierce our hearts, Lord. And so we pray, Lord, that we, when we leave here today, that we would know we've been in the presence of Jesus, that we would not be the same way that we came in. So bless us now, Lord, as we look to your word, and may it be fruitful unto us. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may sit. So again, as we go through the word systematically, you know, it's very important that we got to remember that in chapters 12, 13, 10, 11, now in 14, that Paul tells us as Christians how we're to live and how we're to act within the body of Christ, how we are to live in society. And here in chapter 14, Paul deals with us as believers how we are to live and to act with one another, especially when it has to deal with controversial subjects or when it has to deal with our differences, because we know we got a lot of differences. You know, we read the Word of God, and sometimes we might interpret it a little different than others. And he says, because of this, it's very important that we look and how we treat one another, especially when it comes to our faith and how we perceive the Scriptures when it comes to certain subjects. So again, Paul, here in chapter 14, he brings up certain issues regarding Christian liberty and how he compares it to those who are keeping the law or believers who are seeking to please the Lord. So the question that is often asked is, and you probably have asked this question, I know I have in my early days, is what can I as a believer do and not do socially or personally as a Christian? What can I get away with? Because we're always confronted with these issues, you know, in our lives, and these questions have been asked many times, and some of those issues that many believers are asked, that is, what is acceptable and not acceptable as a Christian? What can I get away with as a Christian? You ever ask yourself, how far can I walk the line? I always used to hear, you know, hey, you can't be riding the fence. You can't have one leg on one side of the fence and your other leg on the other side of the fence, because that would hurt, right? But what can we, how much can we get away with as Christians? So obviously the answer is in the Word of God. And, you know, I had a drunk man, and I mentioned this many times because it really impacted my life. But I had this drunk man ask me one time, he says, so what do pastors do to have fun? And I just simply told him, everything you do but sober. Because that's what I do. But there are many issues that we are confronted by when it comes to seeking, and when we're seeking the Lord and we want to please the Lord, we're always confronted by certain issues. And here in chapter 14, it deals with certain principles that will help us and teach us when we are confronted by these issues, because we're confronted by them every day. And in these last chapters, we're going to see these practical and simple ways that Paul gives us so we don't forget and we can understand what God requires from us. Now, you're not going to get any, Paul doesn't give us real deep doctrine here in these chapters. They're very practical. He gives us simple ways that we can apply them to our life and how we can live as a Christian. So look at verse 1. Look what Paul says in verse 1. He tells us, receive one who is weak in the faith. I think that's very, very simple and practical here. Paul says, he speaks on how we should behave towards others, right? Especially our Christian family. How we're to treat brothers and sisters in the Lord. But he tells us this, especially when it comes to the matters and the things that we might not agree in the same way. When it comes to our indifferences, you know, it's important to know the question here in verse 1. And that is, who are those who are weak in faith? Who are the weak in faith? You might not think you're weak in faith. You might be here, no, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm mature in the Lord. I've been a Christian since 1978. You know, so I'm not weak in faith. Who are the weak in faith? Well, you know, there's several interpretations of that, views we can look at. The person who's weak in faith can be a person who has a very limited or very shallow life of convictions. They're not convicted when they know they're doing wrong. You know, it doesn't convict them. That's someone who's weak in faith. They can be those who aren't saved. Those who aren't saved, you know what? They're doing what is natural to them. They're living that lifestyle. It's natural to them, and they're doing them in ignorance. Why? Because they're not saved. Someone who's weak in faith can be a Christian who might have a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. They have a surface fellowship with God. They're not in the Word of God, so it's a relationship of emotions and feelings. That can be a person who's weak in faith. Or it can just be a believer who believes differently than the other believers. But the point is, we should not look at the spiritual maturity of a person when it comes to fellowship. Maybe when it comes to certain positions of leadership, or obviously we got to have Christians who are mature in faith and in the Word of God. But when it comes to fellowshipping, when it comes to getting involved in the church, we shouldn't look at a person's spirituality as far as their maturity. You know, I want to give some of you examples of indifferences that we deal with as not only as pastors, but as a Christian. Listen to this, because these are probably some of the issues that you have dealt with, or maybe you're dealing with them right now. But listen, when it comes to issues of spiritual Christian liberty, what we can do, because Paul said, hey, I have the liberty to do anything I want, but not everything's beneficial to me. When it comes to that spiritual liberty that we have, and as a believer, what can I do and not do, right? How much can I get away with it in my life? Well, listen to some of these issues that we're up against as a Christian. One of the issues is drinking, right? That's a big one. Many Christians have this issue of drinking. Well, how can I do it socially? Now, I don't drink, and I don't think I have picked up a beer since the 80s. And I just don't like, I don't even like grape juice, because it kind of has that taste like wine. I don't like grape juice at weddings. I don't even like that sparkling apple cider. But that's me. Now, there's some who they do drink, maybe a beer here and there. But what, as a Christian, how far can we drink? Or how about going to the movies? What is acceptable and what is not acceptable? I rarely go to the movies. I never go to the movies that are rated R. I won't go to a movie that's rated R out there, because knowing me, I'll be in line to a rated R movie and somebody say, hey, Pastor Steve, how you doing? And everybody will look, point at me. I don't do that. Now, I did go to one rated R movie, and that was The Passion of Christ. That was rated R because of the violent content in it. But what is acceptable? Or how about watching TV? Watching what we see on TV. I mean, TV is really bad. They have gotten really bad. Really bad. And when I look at some of the programs, and I you know what? Now they don't even take out the bad stuff anymore. I was watching a movie saying, and I looked at it and I said, when did you get HBO? And it wasn't HBO, it was a regular television channel. And they didn't take out any of the explicit sexual content in it. It was bad. This is how far we got. Even the children's channel are getting bad. You know, Disney Channel and everything. So what is acceptable? What is not acceptable when you watch television? How about gambling? There we go, gambling. What is considered gambling? Or how about playing the lotto right now? Oh, man, they're really pushing the lotto, because what? It's way up there. Sure, I would love to win that, you know. And if I win it, okay, hey, I had someone say, Pastor Steve, if I win the lotto, I'm going to give the church 10%. I said, why would you give the church 10%? Why don't you give the Lord 90% and you keep 10%? You can live off 10%. You know, and you know, so playing the lotto. How about dancing? You know, ooh, man. Is there any form of dancing that's unacceptable? I mean, look at how they're dancing. It's pretty bad. Andy's a good dancer, though. You know, he loves to dance, you know. Yes, Christian dancing, you know. He does this, C for Christian. How about listening to music? Some of the music that I hear right here in my office, and I hear music playing real loud, and we're talking cussing, we're talking words that are very offensive. What kind of music, whether it's loud, hard rock, country? I grew up with old school, oldies, you know, and that's what I grew up with, and I love it. When does music become wrong? Or how about smoking cigarettes? How about smoking a cigar, a pipe, or chewing tobacco? Or medical marijuana? That's a big one, right? Or how about attending sports functions or any type of function on a Sunday? Or how about working on a Sunday? So you guys, you know what? The list can go on and it can go on and on and on. And you know, these are just some of the social and recreational functions that are sometimes questioned by other believers who are trying to please the Lord in all that they do. And they look at others and they say, okay, that's just a weak brother. That's the weaker vessel. But look what he says in verse 1. Paul says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. And so we can see a lot here, and I think some of the key words here we need to go over. First of all, he says, receive the weak brother. That word receive, it means you got to welcome them. It means you got to accept them and to take them to oneself. It means you got to receive the weak person just as what? As God graciously receives them. Just like God received you. When I think of my weakness of my flesh, you know, and I think, wow, it took me 19 years bow my knee and confess with my tongue that Jesus was Lord. And God was graciously patient with me for 19 years. I thank God I'm not saved. I mean, I thank God I'm not God. I'm saved. But I thank God I'm not God, because if I was God, I'd be doing this. Boom, boom. Oh, yeah? Boom, 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 boom. Or this, you know? There'd be nobody left. But that's why I'm not God. And to receive a weak person in faith means that we got to take a weak person to oneself, just like God took us to himself. So we as brothers are to receive the weak brother just like God would receive him. The weaker brother is to be received without what? Criticism, without argument over his weakness. And there should be no doubt and no disputing in receiving him. Because we do that so often. People look at their faults. I mean, I get criticized all the time. I get people looking at me, and when they see me, they're already judging me by whether it's my appearance or whether it's how I present the Word of God or how I speak. I mean, I can go on. But I was always told, just do what God called you to do. And that's what I'm going to do. But we have to receive those who are weak in faith. We can't be looking at their faults. He has to be received with open arms, just like God receives them. And I'm talking about over the doubtful things. Now, I'll give you a good example. My son, Stevie, when he, you know, I didn't let my kids date. Stevie wasn't able to date till he was 18, actually 17. My girls, Priscilla and Monique, I didn't allow them to date till they were 18. But Stevie, when Stevie met Julie, like father, like son, you know, I wasn't a Christian when I met Carmen. I met her in the third grade. Remember, you know, she danced with me in the third grade. I saw her. I said, I claimed her, named it and claimed it. And then I met her in the sixth grade, and we've been together ever since. Okay. Married in the 12th grade, in the seventh grade. And we got saved together, and they got witnessed together at the same time. So my testimony is pretty much her testimony. But she got pregnant when she was 17 and I was 18. We weren't Christians yet. And then when Stevie met Julie, she got pregnant. And that was a big, big issue for us, but more so for Carmen, because she wasn't a Christian. So right away, Carmen was really looking at what she was. And finally, I told her, listen, don't look at her who she is. You got to look at what she can become. And you got to, the Word of God says you have to pour into her. You got to train her up and show her how to be a godly woman. Show her how to be a godly wife, a godly mother. Stop looking at what she is And when she did that, Julie, she accepted the Lord. She became a Christian, and she became a strong Christian. And now, obviously, you know, she gave me three beautiful grandchildren. My oldest one's in college in Arizona, and I love it. So it's the same way. You know, we can't look at the doubtful things. Look what he says in verse 1. He says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over the doubtful things. Now, the phrase here, but not to dispute over doubtful things, it means don't pass the judgment or dispute these acts. You know, do not quarrel or contend with someone about their opinions, about their differences. But we're talking about in those areas of life where the scriptures are not clear about, like smoking. Okay, the Bible doesn't say you cannot smoke, right? A cigarette. It says not to put anything in your body that's bad because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So we can refer to that. But that could mean also Coca-Cola. That could mean candy. It can mean coffee, right? So the scriptures are not very clear about that subject, and there's other ones. So why are we going to dispute that? Now, where the Word of God is clear, I'm talking about the commandment of God, where, for instance, if you are committing sexual immorality, if you are committing adultery, sex out of marriage, well, guess what? The scripture will judge you because the scriptures are very clear about those acts. And those are the ones where I can say, hey, brother, man, you can't be doing that. You can't. But smoking, I think that's between you and the Lord. And, you know, and we got to give it to the Lord. You got to pray for them. You can't dispute over them. You can't contend with them regarding their differences and their opinions. That's where God has to, you know, you can't play the Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line. So many times we like to play Holy Spirit, right? So many times we like to be what I call a sinometer. You know what a sinometer is? It's like you go around going, boop, 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 boop. Oh, this one's doing that. Boop, 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 boop. This, he's doing that, doing that. The Word of God will take care of those issues, you know. And so we gotta love them because that's what Jesus would do. But in blatant acts of disobedience and where the scriptures are very clear about, then, yeah, we have to what? Confront. But the key is in love because that's what Jesus did. I think if I came to you and confronted you about an issue and I did it in love, it's more easier for you to receive it and accept it than it would be say, hey, you're going to hell, brother. You ain't a Christian because you're dirty dancing. He isn't, though. I just use that example. You know? But what if I say, hey, brother, man, you know what? Can you kind of change up your dance a little? Because I'm being stumbled by it and because I don't know how to dance like that. You're making me look bad, you know. Kind of tone it down a little. It's better to they're able to receive it. But in the areas where the scriptures are not clear, guys, and then we are not to what? Dispute. We're not to judge them over these issues. In other words, Paul's telling us, you know, you got to receive those who are weak in the faith. By what? By embracing them and helping them without passing judgment on the areas in which, you know, we don't see eye to eye. Just because I know a brother who won't go to the beach. And he won't go to the beach because he doesn't want to be stumbled by the ladies there. And, you know, it has gotten really bad. Really bad. When we went to Santa Monica, I'm sitting there on the beach and Carmen's over by the water, you know, with the grandkids. And I'm sitting there and the beach was so packed. I mean, I've never been to a beach where it's so packed. And this girl, she got up and she's talking on the phone and she walks by me and she turns around like this and I'm sitting here like this. So she's right here and she turns around and I'm like, and what she was wearing was very, very unacceptable. Now, I can't tell her that, but it was right there. And you know what I did? I panicked because Carmen's down there. And she's looking at me, and she knows what's happening. And I'm like, oh, no, I am judged and condemned. And so, you know, I wanted to do this. But if I did this, and she knows, then I'm guilty. And no lie, she was looking at me. She says, okay, I'm going to watch. See what you're going to do. You know? So again, We have to be careful about passing judgment. In Romans chapter 15, which we haven't received yet, but Paul said this. This is what he says. It says, when we who are strong ought to bear with the scruples or the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves, but let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So that's what we want, right? We want to edify one another. We want to encourage one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said in verse 19, he says, for though I'm free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win the more. And that's what we want to do. We want to win people to Christ. And to the Jew, I became a Jew, that I may win the Jew. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without the law, as without the law. Not being without the law towards God, but under the law towards Christ. That I might win those who are without the law. And to the weak I became as weak, that I may win the weak. And I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with them. Now, don't take this scripture to justify your sin. Some people will do that. They'll take the word of God to justify their sin. Well, or they're saying, Christians aren't perfect, they're forgiven. Which I agree with that 100%. We are forgiven. But I don't use that as an excuse to sin before God. And you know, we have to become all things to all people so that we can win them for Christ. But remember, when Jesus hung out with the sinners, he didn't partake in their sin. He hung out with them and he was the example. He was the light. He was the one who showed them that they could be set free. There's too many Christians missionary dating, ladies. Don't be missionary dating. Don't think, well, hey, maybe I can save him. He likes me. He's cute, you know. And well, the biggest one, well, you know, he's Catholic, you know, or he does say he knows God. Don't missionary date. The scriptures are very clear about being unequally yoked.
He wears
a cross, and it's really big, you know, it's like this. You know, and he carries it on his back. You know, no, it's very clear what the scripture says. Don't use the word of God to justify your sin. God will bring them, right? And so we have to be careful. Now, there's a ministry that The Rock has. It's a ministry where they go into the strip joints and they witness to the strippers. Yeah, but you don't see men part of that. Part of that ministry. It's all women. It makes sense, right? Men, come on. Oh, I want to be part of this ministry. Yeah. I don't think so. They're all women. And the whole purpose is what? To give them the gospel of Christ. Especially those who maybe came out of that lifestyle. We all been somewhere where somebody else. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. What you did, they did over 2,000 years ago. It's not like, wow, I did something new here. No, it's been going on, and there's people doing it today. And we need to be that light, that example, saying, you know what, you can be set free from this. And those who are weak, I become weak. Why? So that I can partake with them, and I can be that example. I can show them that there is a truly a God. I mean, we came out of the gang lifestyle, some of us here, Fernando, Art, and Jason, you know, and some others, Oscar. We came out of the gang side. We are all in the same gang, in fact, you know, different in the early 70s. And so now it's awesome because Andy has a Lord has used Andy to bring them the four or five generations of gang members together here in the church where we fed them. And it was awesome because we had the OGs like us, and then we had the ones that were in diapers when we were hanging out that are now doing the same thing that we did back then. And so we're able to minister. Or, you know, surfers. Pastor Tony, he surfed. You know, he hung out here in Normal Heights. And you should have him share. When you see him, ask him about the Highway Patrol helmet. You got to hear that one. That's a good one. I love that. It's funny. But you have to tell him. Anyways, so again, the weak brother is to be received without criticism, argument over his weakness, Paul says. He has to be received with open arms, just like God would receive him, right? Well, who's the one in the weak in the faith? Look at verse 2. He goes, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. And let him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. So who's the weaker person here that Paul's talking about? He's talking about the person who's a vegetarian. The vegetarian, that's the one who governs his life by strict rules, the one who's living their life by the book. You know, they're the ones that are called the weaker vessel. Paul calls them the weak ones, the one who seems to be more what? Morally upright, most disciplined, who are living by the word of God with the highest standard of conduct. But he calls them the weaker vessel. Now, why would keeping these strict rules cause a believer to be, Paul to call him a weaker Christian? Those who are serving the Lord, those who are following the law to the strictest sense?
Why?
Oh, I'm going to tell you why. Well, one reason is because they know better. They are more mature in the Lord, and they set their lives to follow after God and His Word, so they are expected to know better than the one who doesn't. And because they need to, they're taught to love. They're the ones that, hey, if that person is weak, you're more mature in the Lord, so you should love that person. Not say, hey, you know what? I think of the Pharisee and the sinner in the temple where the Pharisee, Lord, thank you, Lord. I like to do that. Thank you that I'm not like this man next to me, the sinner. I pray and I worship you, God. I go before the temple. Thank you, Lord. And that sinner, that guy next to him wouldn't even look up to the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, who was more exalted? The one who lived his life to the highest standard of conduct and keeping the word of God, or that one who wouldn't even hold his head up and say, Lord, forgive me, for I'm such a sinner. Now, you got to remember, back in those days, the Roman church was apparently, you know, the church in Rome was dealing with these very problems. And the Jews, throughout their earliest history of their years, they had this long list of laws governing food and what type of food they can eat and not eat. You can read about it. I'm not going to read it for you, but you can read it in Leviticus chapter 11 and so on, and Deuteronomy and so on. So because of this, it probably became a problem here, and it brought division within the church between the Jewish, the Jews and the Gentiles who were being saved. And just how closely they were looking at, well, how closely these new Gentile believers, how are they observing the law, or how they should be, and even if they should follow the law. So Paul had to address these issues on eating meat or not eating meat. He gives us two issues here that they were dealing with. Because the believers who didn't eat meat were judging and criticizing and arguing over those who did. Okay, there was this big argument. And because the meat they were, and the whole reason was because the meat that they were eating was the meat that was sacrificed to idols. Okay, they would sacrifice a sheep or whatever, a lamb, and then they would cut up the meat and they would take it to the market and they would sell it. Why? Because that meat was cheaper than the meat that wasn't used for the sacrifice. It costs less. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like you shopping at Sprouts or at Whole Foods, and me shopping at Albertsons. You go to Sprouts and Whole Foods, you're getting what? Organic food. What is organic food? What is organic? What does that mean, organic? You know? I mean, you're going to pay a lot more than what I'm going to pay at Albertsons. And so, again, this is what the issue was with the meat. I mean, the meat that they were buying was sacrificed. You can't eat that meat there, brother. That was sacrificed to an idol. You know? But that meat there, it costs way less. And the priest said, hey, but you know what? Here, I got some meat that's perfectly, it's perfect, it's kosher, and it's not sacrificed for idols. It may cost a little bit more, but you'll do better. And so the Jews who were vegetarians, or they wouldn't even sell meat, were upset with the meatitarians. Now, I'm a meatitarian, okay? I am. Carmen, she leans more towards vegetarian, but she does eat meat. But me, I'm a Tyrannosaurus Rex, okay? I ain't no duck-billed dinosaur. You know, I eat meat. I love meat. And so the vegetarians were upset with the meatitarians, and they became legalistic, and they tried to turn and force the believers, even the non-believers, to be like them with their dietary laws. And so Paul was trying to point out that the issue is not the commandments of God, guys. It's not the commandments of the Lord. The issue is the behavior of those who have the differences of opinions. Whether you're eating or not eating meat, it's not. Paul says, you know what? Whether you eat or not eat meat, it's not going to make you more spiritual than the other. It's not going to do anything. What Jesus did on the cross is what makes the difference. I love what Chuck Smith always taught us, and we hear it all the time. He says it's okay to disagree, but you got to do it agreeably. You can't cause division. Sandy McIntosh at the marriage seminar we went to, she said something that I wrote down, and I was like, yep, that's it. She hit it on the dot in the marriage. She said this: in a marriage, guys, there will be areas in your marriage that you will not be able to change. They're not going to change. But you have to learn to rise above them, and you have to learn to accept them with unity. And I agree. Those of you married, I mean, would you agree? You can't change. Carmen is not going to change me. I don't care what she, I'm not going to budge. I can't change her. She can't make me eat mayonnaise and sour cream. It ain't going to happen. I'm not going to change. God has to do it. That's why you can't play Holy Spirit. And I tell her, don't play Holy Spirit. Don't use the Word of God. We can't use the Word of God to manipulate. We got to let God do that. You know, I think as a husband, guys, you probably would agree, and wives, I can hear from somebody else, but I can't hear from my wife because I know she's right. But I can't let her know that. You know, but I know she's right. But if you told me the same thing, I would say, yeah, I know. You're right. But my wife, nope. You know, it's just the way it is. So we have to disagree but we got to do it agreeably. It's okay to disagree on certain issues. But if you tell me that Jesus and Satan are brothers, we got a problem. I think the critical issue is Jesus Christ. To me, everything else is negotiable. You don't want to wear a dance, don't dance. I don't have a problem with that. I don't dance either. I hold up the wall. We did that all our lives. You know, I don't even know why I went to a dance. All I did was hold up the wall. You know, that's what we did. But if you tell me that Jesus Christ isn't Lord and Savior, we have a problem, and then we're going to go round and round. But everything else is negotiable. It's negotiable. If you feel like, hey, you don't have to be baptized, then that's on you. But if you tell me you have to be baptized to be saved, then we have a problem. So again, we have to learn to, we can disagree, but we have to do it agreeably. Look at what he says in verse 3. He says, let him who eats not despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. So I think in reality here, guys, is that the vegetarians, Paul says, you guys are the weaker brothers. You guys who know better, you're the weaker brothers. Because the ones who were more legalistic, the ones who kept the law, were the weaker ones. Because of why? Their attitude and their lack of loving others. See, and that's a problem. I mean, you can know the Word of God, and you can serve the Lord, and you can look like a holy roller. But if you don't love those who aren't the same as you, then you ain't nothing. Your gifts, they ain't nothing, because the greatest gift of all is what? Love. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says you can do all these works, you can move mountains, you can have great gifts from God, but unless you have love, all it is a bunch of noise. Paul says you got to receive the weaker brother. He's not only receiving, you got to receive him not only because of his struggles. We have, so I got to receive that weaker brother, but you weaker brothers, or, and when I say brothers, I mean sisters too, okay? The weaker person, you weaker person, you have to also receive those who are more religious, the ones who are self-righteous, the one who are always looking down on you, who are always looking down on others. They got to be received too. So important. Don't get into these doubtful and controversial arguments with them. This is what I do. Just look at them. And when you look at them, and all you got to hear is this. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. I just stand there, and you know, and they want to argue something. I just hear, wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. You know? And I look, and I just got to understand, you know what? They're the weaker ones. Because, you know, I'm not going to get into this argumentative, controversial argument with them. When it comes to our differences, when it comes to those doubtful things Paul talks about, but when it comes to the things that the scriptures are very clear about, then you better listen. You better not hear wah, 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 wah. You better listen to what the word of God says. And those of you who are sharing them, you better do it in love. So it goes both ways. You gotta make sure it's according to the scriptures. Now notice what he says in verse 3. Look at the bottom. Reason why we shouldn't dispute over doubtful things, we shouldn't have controversial arguments over them, is why? For God has received them. You know what, guys? God doesn't care. God doesn't care about most of the things that you butt heads over your petty differences. You think you're speaking to God when you're confronting someone over a petty thing? Hey, thus saith the Lord. You should not juggle kittens. You know? I did that once, you know, but that's another Bible study. I did it to Hector. He's working at the Mosex in a way, and he was on the phones. I called, Mosex, I can help you. Yeah, can you help me share what you're going to? I juggle kittens. Oh, okay, hold on, please. Click. Came back, and he didn't know how to handle that. You know, I knew it was him. That's why I was able to joke with him. But again, you know what? God doesn't care. He's not into those petty differences. What is God more concerned of? You got to look at this. What is God more concerned of? He's concerned with people getting saved. He's concerned of people being brought into the kingdom of heaven. He's concerned of us walking in the Spirit, growing in grace. He's concerned of us finishing the race that we're running. And I even think God's not looking at how we run the race as much as that we finish it. You know what? You read in the book of 1 Samuel through Kings and Chronicles, all the kings, a lot of them started very well, but they ended bad. See, I'd rather start bad and end well. But more so, I want to start well and I want to end well. When I get to heaven, I want to hear, enter the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to stand there and God goes, drag me by my collar and push me in. I don't want to be the one that had to be forced in. I want God to say, welcome in, thou good and faithful servant. So what is God more concerned about? You know what, guys? We're not here to convert the we're here to convert the non-believer, not the believer. Too many Christians are going around trying to convert believers when there's a lot of non-believers that need to be converted. We need to reach out to them. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, "You who are you to judge another's servant? To him, to his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." So I think Paul, he gives us three major reasons why we should not despise or how we should not judge one another. Because the word despise in verse 3, where it says, let him not who eats despise him who eats. That word despise in the Greek, it means to look down upon. It means to hold someone in contempt, to treat him as being meaningless or utterly wrong. You ever felt utterly wrong? Many times. Oh, I was utterly wrong. I don't use that word. Oh, yeah, I'm just utterly wrong. You know, and even little things like maybe I might misquote a verse. I might misquote a chapter. I don't mean to do it, but I'm going to be 59 next month. So it gives me, you know, they say when you turn 40, there's three things you forget. I just don't remember what they are. I'm going to be 59. So I'm still a young kid. So anyway, that's what they tell me. But the thing of it is, how many times we've looked down on people with contempt, or we treat them as being meaningless or utterly wrong because we are despising them, we're judging them. So why should we not look at others with contempt who are different than us, who might believe a little different? Well, first of all, look at verse 3. Look at the bottom. Why? For God has received them. This is why we shouldn't, because God received them. God received the weaker believers in Christ. I'm talking about the ones that live, they live in the spiritual liberty of Christ, and they might not live like I live, the ones that, or maybe the ones who are living in the most strict life, that religious life and rules, and he obeys the word of God. I might not live that way. Well, we might not accept one another, but God does. And so you can't forget that, guys. You can't. When you look at somebody, you start to judge them. You got to look at, okay, would God judge that person? How would God accept that person? When I look at people, I always try to look at them through God's eyes. Because if I look at them through God's eyes, then I pray for their salvation. I pray that they would be saved. I pray every morning when I'm out here in my office and I look out the window and I see people walking by and they're going to get coffee and they're going up the street, I'm always praying, Lord, please bring them in the front doors. Bring them to church. Leave the dog outside, but bring them into church. I pray for their salvation. But if I don't see them through God's eyes, then I start looking at their faults. I start looking at their weaknesses. I start to judge and I start to criticize. Well, guess what? God accepts them. And if God accepts them, we have to accept them. And then secondly, look at verse 4 at the top of there. He says, who are you to judge another servant? No one has the right to judge the Lord's servant. You know, whether they're weak in the weak person or whether they're a religious person, they both belong to the Lord. They both are the servants of the Lord, and they will stand or they will fall before the Lord. Therefore, the Lord alone has the right to judge them. Now, we are told in Corinthians that we are to judge the believer, but the word judge means not to condemn. We're to encourage. I'm not going to judge you to condemn you and to say, you know what, you're not a Christian, you're not this, blah, blah, judge you. And I'm here to say, hey, come on, brother. Come on, you know what? God loves you. Come on, come back to fellowship. We want to edify. We want to encourage. We want to love them. And certainly we're not to judge those who aren't saved because they don't know better. And if you go around and start judging those who aren't saved, you'll be the reason why they're not saved. It's bad enough they already say there's too many hypocrites in the church. That's why they don't go to church. Well, guess what? I hate to bust your bubble, but they are right. There are a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Why? Because that's what the church is for. Jesus said, I came to minister to the sick, not the well. You know, and that's why. And if you feel that this church is not good enough for you, if you feel that this, and you're looking for the perfect church, you better not go because you'll only mess it up. You will. So again, we don't have the right to judge the Lord's servant because God's going to judge them. Who are we to judge? Who are we to play God? Who are we to judge each other and condemn and pass judgment upon each other's behaviors or their works? We all belong to Christ. Therefore, he alone determines whether they're going to stand or whether they're going to fall, whether they're going to be accepted, whether they're going to be rejected. We got to get out there, we got to witness, and we got to have a passion for the lost. And some people won't even do that because why? Well, God already knows who's going to be saved. So why do I need to do it? It's very simple. Because you don't know. God may know who's saved and who's not. Do you? No. That's why we got to get out there and find out. We got to go out there, we got to share the word of God. So who are we to play God? And then third, it tells us that God's going to hold up the believer. Look what he says that in verse 4 in the bottom. For God is able to make him stand. And I want to encourage you, I'm going to end it here, but I want to encourage you this morning. And there's no question about that. You know what? We're going to be held up by God. God is able to make us stand, guys. We have his grace. We have his mercy. We have his strength. We have his peace. We have his joy. We have his power. We have his word. We have his promises. I mean, how much more do you need besides faith to believe it? I mean, how much more? I'll be settled with grace. Grace is all I need, God. But if you want to give me peace, joy, love, hope, you want to give me your mercy and strength and power and promises, I'll take those as well. But I really want grace first, because grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace gives me what I need and not what I deserve. I deserve death. You deserve death. But God gives us what we need and not what we deserve. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Listen, I want to encourage you with this. Paul said this: be confident of the very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Till the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ returns, guys, we're going to be caught up in the air to meet him in the air. And we're going to be out of here. And I'm looking forward to that day. Or how about Jude verse 24? He says, now unto him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God's able to keep you from falling, from stumbling, not from, obviously we sin, we blow it, but to fall away. You know, and be encouraged that it's God who will hold you up. I'm encouraged by that, knowing that no matter what I do, God has my back. God, you understand. You know when I'm weak, you know when I'm strong. You know my strengths, you know my weaknesses. And because of that, Lord, I want to surrender and give myself and put my life into your hands. And if I do that, then God will hold me up. Amen.